The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
What many people around the world look to the life of Jesus for inspiration. Jesus is seen by everyone as a great religious teacher, as a great example of human ethics in action, as one who lived a very imitable life. But why is it that his death is so significant? Why is it that we would agree with all that good stuff about his life, and yet that the focus and the focal point of our faith would be on specifically the moment, the day, the evening of his death on the cross? To understand the significance of Jesus' death, and really for us to appropriately have a sense of worship and of awe this weekend, the single biblical theme that we need to get our minds around and understand is the theme of the wrath of God. Because the reason that the death of Christ is significant has everything to do with the weightiness of the wrath of God. That is not a topic that we talk often about, but tonight it is appropriate, as we turn our minds to Christ's death, that we would spend a few moments thinking about the biblical theme of God's wrath and how it is that that gives focus and meaning and significance to Good Friday. And so what I want to do for a few minutes is simply read some of the biblical passages which speak of the wrath of God. I'm going to ask you to listen. If you have a Bible and you would like to look them up, you may. But if you would simply like to reflect and listen, I'd like to invite you to do that tonight. And I would simply like the force of these passages and of the things they say about God's anger towards sin to weigh on you and to cause worship in your heart, and perhaps to think about this aspect of the character of God, which we don't often think about and sing about and talk about, but which has everything to do with the foundation of our faith. So I'm going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. The word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. Therefore, I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. Pour it out upon the children in the street and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elderly and the very aged. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, "We will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words." Ezekiel chapter 7, starting in verse 5. "Thus says the Lord God, disaster after disaster, behold, it comes. An end has come. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it comes. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near. A day of tumult and not of joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will soon pour out my wrath upon you and spend my anger against you and judge you according to your ways and punish you for all your abominations. And my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will punish you according to your ways while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord who strikes." Prophet Nahum, chapter 1. Starting in verse 2. "The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries and keeps wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before Him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before Him, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can endure the heat of His anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by Him." Isaiah chapter 63. "Who is this who comes from Edom, in crimson garments from Bozrah? He who is splendid in His apparel, marching in the greatness of His strength. It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like his who tread in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their lifeblood spattered on my garments and stained all my apparel. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled, but there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought me salvation, and my wrath upheld me. I trampled down the peoples in my anger. I made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth." Prophet Zephaniah, chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near. Near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day. A day of distress and anguish. A day of ruin and devastation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind so that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. Good Friday was a day of the wrath of the Lord. What it means that Jesus went to the cross is not that Jesus was an example of what it means to die on behalf of people or to give your life for your friends. Much more significantly, the significance of Good Friday is that Jesus on the cross was absorbing the wrath and the fury and the anger of the Almighty God of the universe against sin. You hear in all these passages violent imagery. Imagery of blood. Imagery of God spending His anger. Imagery of God trampling out the lifeblood of His enemies in the same way that a reaper stomps out the grapes to make wine. That imagery of blood and of violence and of punishment and of gore is all foreshadowing what happened on Good Friday. When Jesus hung on the cross, the full weight of the wrath and the anger of God toward human sin was leveled against Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, the Apostle John tells us that God offered Jesus as a propitiation for our sin. And that word propitiation literally means a sacrifice that turns away God's wrath. What it means for Jesus to be a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice is that all of the wrath of God that you deserve and that I deserve because of sin, God instead directs toward His own Son, Jesus. And because Jesus fully absorbs the wrath of God on our behalf, we are then free to escape the wrath of God towards sin and to be reconciled to right relationship with our Creator. And so this same language is used in Romans chapter 3, which you'll find on the back of the handout that you received tonight. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 3, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement, a propitiation, through faith in His blood. So what I want you to see and reflect on in Good Friday is both the grace and the wrath of God. The fact that God presented His own Son, Jesus, graciously for His people as a sacrifice of atonement, as one whose objective was to absorb the weight and the fullness of God's anger towards sin for those who believe. The significance of what it means to believe in Christ is this. If you hope in Christ, if you trust in Christ, if you rest in what Christ did on the cross, then He has absorbed the wrath of God for you. And if you do not hope in Christ, if you are not trusting in Christ, if you do not rest in the work that Jesus did on the cross, then all that wrath and anger of God toward your sin is being stored up and will be carried out against you in hell for eternity. And so Good Friday has everything to do with the wrath and the anger and the severity of God's judgment and what it means that Jesus absorbed that for us. And so it is significant tonight that we worship and we sing songs about things like blood and abandonment. And we reflect in what it means that Jesus was tragically, brutally murdered. And the reason that we do that is because that is our hope. Jesus' absorbing of the wrath of God on the cross is the thing in which we hope to escape the wrath of God stored up toward us in the future. And so my hope tonight, and what I want to do as we close, is to leave you reflecting on and thinking about the wrath and the anger of God towards sin. Because the only way that Easter Sunday will be a day of celebration for you is if Good Friday becomes for you a day in which you understand the significance of what it means that God is very angry towards sin and towards sinners. And unless that anger is poured out in its full weight upon Christ, then it awaits us in the future. And so for this weekend to be a weekend that culminates in celebration, I want to leave you tonight with a sense of the weightiness of that, with a sense of the depth and the heaviness of a God who is holy, who cannot look on sin, who will not tolerate sin, and who will punish those who disobey His law. It is in Christ's punishment that we hope. So as we close tonight, here's what I would like us to do. On Easter Sunday morning, we are going to celebrate together, and I hope you come here with a spirit of readiness to rejoice in the resurrection. But I want you to leave here tonight with a sense of heaviness. And so in a minute, I'm going to close us in prayer, and we're going to ask that you would make your way from here in silence, that this is not a chance to hang out and talk and chat, but rather that you would leave here and go out to your car and do whatever you're going to do tonight, reflectively, somberly, with a sense of quietness, resting and dwelling on the significance of God's anger towards sin. And so on your way out, there are two tables at the back with the communion elements. And we're going to invite you, as you leave, if you would like, to partake of communion, in which we remember the body of Jesus and His blood poured out on the cross. And so as you partake that, as you leave, I want you to do it reflecting on the fact that this morsel, which represents his body, and this juice or wine, which represents his blood, are a symbol of his absorbing of God's wrath. That the reason Jesus' blood was poured out at all is because God is very angry towards sin. The reason that his body was broken is because God is very angry towards sin. And so I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to invite you to make your way out sort of quietly, to stop at the back tables and partake. And so if you'll just do that in sort of a orderly fashion and kind of observe others and sort of, make it happen the right way, make it not crowded. I'm just going to invite you to leave, reflect, and that this would weigh heavily upon you, that the significance and weightiness of who Jesus is and what he did would rest with you, so that on Easter Sunday you would have an appropriate sense of what it means to be freed and released and delivered from the wrath of God. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we do affirm tonight the seriousness of God's wrath. Almighty God, we recognize that throughout Scripture this is a predominant theme. That it is not that you are like a vengeful father who sort of has a short fuse and goes off every once in a while, but you are a holy, just, loving creator who watched as your creation was spun into sin through our choice. And God, because you are holy and because you are righteous and because you are pure, you cannot tolerate sin. You will not excuse sin. You will not overlook sin. You will not wink at sin. What you will do according to your word is to judge sin, to pour out your anger on sin, to express the fullness of your wrath towards sin. And so, Jesus, tonight we take refuge in what you did on the cross to absorb the wrath of God for all who will flee to you and trust in you. And Jesus, we pray that that would rest deeply on us tonight, that your Holy Spirit would work through your word to create in us a sense of seriousness, to drive home the truths of your word in our souls, so that tonight might be a night of heaviness, a night of solemnness, that this weekend might be not just a weekend where we celebrate, but a weekend where our celebration has depth and has meaning because of the weightiness of your holiness and of your terrible anger towards sin. So as we prepare to partake of your body and blood, we recognize, Jesus, what it meant that you took upon you the wrath and the anger of God. And we both rejoice and tremble at the reality of that event. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.